Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? I'm sitting here today live in the studio with my boy Roni, and we are going to have such a fun conversation today. I think about starting off, credit where credit is due. My boy Andrew Duke is a great friend of mine out of business. I'm going to challenge, this is going to be the first podcast he's going to have to listen to. And why I'm telling the story is right where I'm sitting looking at Roni smiling to set the stage here today. A few months ago, we were sitting back here, and I had met Roni where Andrew put together this group of superstars because we have we've talked about on the podcast of like putting your passions, and we're about to go into the speed round to learn Roni's passions. But Andrew and I were all about golf and our personal lives, and we're working on these system-built, have-as-much-fun-as-possible golf structures. And Andrew Duke was talking about how, well, we just got to get Roni to, he can do all the IT stuff. And I'm like, I was so lost on Roni. I was like, and he talked, you know, everybody has their dialects of what they speak. I'm like, Roni, what flow with Roni. And I'm like, okay. And he come in that day. And ever since then, we've been working on this podcast today about he is cut from the same cloth as me, Tribe, is him and I have really worked hard to the riches and the niches on this podcast today because we have a lot to talk about. And so, but the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that the software platform built by subcontractors for subcontractors. We're here in studio live in Denver today, looking out at my window and door company, the story I just told you about allowing passions to come together. But what I'm most excited about is that Roni lives subcontracting world. Like most of the people I interview on here, I get tons of people reaching out, but you learn by doing, and it's the people that have been in the trenches doing it, and that's what we're going to talk about. So how does this benefit you is that they're here to help you focus on what is most important in your subcontracting business and free you up from repetitive tasks. We're all trying to figure that out right now, right? We're all going to some type of platform, and there's all these shiny objects that come to you that this is going to save you so much time. And then you go try it and you're like, that cost me so much time to learn it and I'm so frustrated. And then they move on. So some of the examples that they do is issues surrounding time tracking, crew tracking, safety paperwork, on and on and on. That's what we're going to talk about. But I'm going to challenge Roni just like I've been challenging from day one. So from my perspective, I raise my hand and say, this stuff is hard. And every day I do it, I find it's harder and harder than I think it's going to be to find the right IT partner. And this is why I'm so stoked to have my buddy Roni here on the show today, who has built a platform from the ground up to be an IT partner with all of us Art of Construction Master Facilitators. Roni, I'm so stoked to have you here and flow together today. Let's get to know you. What's your favorite beverage?
Well, first of all, Devin, thanks so much for having me on the show. I am pumped to be here. Favorite beverage, it depends on what time it is in the day. I'm going to start with an Arnold Palmer for lunch. And then when you and I go out later for happy hour, I'm probably going to switch to a ranch water. And the Casamigos tequila is my ranch water.
There you go. What about the favorite place you traveled?
With the wife to Santorini, Greece. That place has a very special place in my heart. If you've ever been there, it is magical. Looks like something out of this world.
Give us one story from that.
Oh my gosh. We got picked up by this Greek man who picks us up in this like raggedy old van. I didn't know what I had signed myself up for. I was in actually college, grad school at the time. Wife, well, girlfriend at the time, says, "What did you just get me into? This guy is the most animated person you've ever seen in your life." Says, "Okay, I'm going to take you to a vineyard." Takes us to a vineyard. We drink the most wonderful Greek wine and then says, "Hey, I got a buddy with a boat," which this Greek guy I've never met in my life, brings us to this boat, which actually was like a yacht. Then he goes, "Hey, go get on the boat with his friend." We go get on a boat with a random friend, have no idea what's going on, which then he takes us over to the, I think they're called calderas, right? Where we end up cliff jumping off calderas. unexpected. Didn't even know it was going. My girlfriend thinks we're getting kidnapped on some boat to get taken to Mykonos or something like that. It was rad, man. The people were good. Food was good. And like the views are spectacular.
What is your favorite hobby or interest outside of the IT construction silos that you know so much about that we're going to unpack today that we passionately call the art of construction?
Yeah, man. Well, first of all, you kind of hit on it before, but golf, right? So I love golfing. It's a good hobby, but and then on top of it, I do a lot of mountain biking. I do a lot of it. I'm not good whatsoever at it, but
I can definitely relate to you on all that stuff. So same with the golf thing. That's why we got to figure out these simulators and spend a little more time practicing versus on IT and windows and doors. But all that stuff is what got us here today. What is your story that led you to being the founder and CEO of FieldFlow?
Yeah, so you touched on it. I came from the world right out of school. I get recruited to the largest specialty subcontractor in the United States, I think arguably the world. They're a company called LVI, but now it's Norstar. They recruit me. I'm, you know, this young kid, have no idea what I'm doing. And they bring me up through the ranks, and we're doing everything from demolition to environmental. Some contracts had us doing the whole restoration. I got brought on as a sales guy, and then they worked me up. I learned what I was selling too much, and then worked me up to a project manager, an estimator. I was the head of the Midwest for disaster response. Like, I'm going to these huge floods and hurricanes and all this stuff. Long story long, from there, I'm with the big, we're doing everything in paper, right? Like, we're doing, tracking millions of dollars on projects with paper and safety with paper, all this. So I decide I'm going to go to grad school and maybe get out of the industry and maybe go into VC or something like that. Go to grad school, get graduated, have student loans. My old company, the LVI, says, hey, you want to pay off those student loans? Suck me right back into the industry. Then from there, I get recruited to go lead some other smaller mid-sized companies in the same world, right? From especially subcontractors or self-performed GCs. And it's the same stuff going on, right? Like, no one's tracking time the right way. Everything's paperwork. Everything is broken processes. And then at best, it might be a spreadsheet involved in some of these, right? The eternal whiteboards. You know what I'm talking about. So I get with some computer geeks that I met along the way, tell them my crazy.
But that was only the small companies, right?
No, I was like, yeah, right. You know, no, it was, that's the craziest. It was, didn't matter if it was small or big, everybody was doing it the same way, right? Unfortunately, especially subcontractors, you know, had been, I think, neglected from a software or IT standpoint for a long time. So yeah, I got with some computer geeks, told them my crazy idea, built our MVP, showed it to some friendly competitors, and they were...
So computer geeks, how did you show them to computer geeks? Because I think that's a key thing to unpack.
No, I had gotten with some computer geeks that I had met along the way.
How did you meet him along the way?
Just a friend who was doing software. He was doing e-commerce, then got himself into software, built websites and software in the background for his...
But where did you go get your master's? Because a lot of software geeks have a lot of knowledge in different places in the world, right?
So I went to grad school in Israel. And so Tel Aviv was like, they call it Startup Nation. So it's all technology. There's so much technology over there. And so that's where while I'm going to grad school over there, I'm meeting developers. I'm meeting all these I got involved in the startup community and like realized that software was nuts, right? But then I get back home. I have my crew back there in Israel that I'd met. Then... my best friend Ryan has, in the meantime, started his own software for his manufacturing business. So I presented the idea of FieldFlow to him and said, hey, can you do this? And I wireframed it. You should have seen I don't know if you know what wireframing is, but if anybody listening, it's where you like essentially are supposed to design out pages so that someone can understand your concept of what you're trying to do on a screen, right? If you would have seen my wireframes, first of all, I can't draw. Devin, I can't draw. So I'm literally sketching these wireframes and like, hey, put a button here, put this thing here.
And I raise my hand and say, I personally have never heard the term wireframe. And that's the difference of me speaking window and door day to day and learning how to speak IT. When I talk with my different IT partners, like, people will joke that'll listen to this that are involved in the AOC IT house is Devin and his PowerPoints, because I've got pretty good at those from doing the podcast of like how I try to now wireframe everything in these different tools, because that's what you know, right? Yep. And so, but it's first about mapping out your dream and your vision, right?
That's exactly right. So the wireframe is your map, right? But most people get a designer to do it. Roni's not a designer, so I'm drawing on pieces of paper for Ryan, who then turns into me, my co-founder, my CTO. So these guys create my crazy idea, and it was the MVP version negative 32 of FieldFlow. While it's negative 32, Devin, I go and show friendly competitors, and they all want to buy it. They saw it. All it was a timesheet, some daily reporting, and certification and training, like so where you can load in certs and track and manage. That's all it was.
And you're like, wouldn't everybody have this, right?
Right.
But then you're like, wait, I know, I live this. Not everybody has this.
Exactly. And so we rolled out. We were the beta tester at my company. And then they buy it. I go to my pregnant wife at the time, Brittany. She's a saint and an angel. And I say, I'd like to quit my job and go full-time with FieldFlow. And she goes, you're an idiot, right? But let's go. And that was the founder story. We sold those initial five people were our jump-off point. Went into full dev on like creating a software that was specifically built for the field and then working back to the administrative processes. So, yeah, man, that's where we got our jump. And
I really, well done. I really like how you mapped out those different critical moments in time. And that's the thing. I love the podcast format to where, you know, you and I have in happy hour conversation or meetings about let's do this business together from another concept or this and that. But you don't take the time to just say, what are those critical moments that got you there, right? And this is audio only, but like the passion from your girlfriend in Greece to your wife saying, I support you because I can feel that you're all in on this, right? And those leaps are important leaps. And that's what we're going to unpack today by starting why FieldFlow.
Yeah, it goes back to the why of what I just talked about, is that nothing existed for these specialty subcontractors. There was nothing. And it was processes that needed to be managed and streamlined under one house, right? You had all of these broken processes. And let's call it what it is. The world that we live in today, and even back, you know, 6 years ago when I started FieldFlow, it is so regulated, right? And you miss one step, and either you're losing money, and you already, you know, as well as I do, you miss a step or you do something wrong, we're already working on smaller margins. Now you're losing money, and you don't even know you're losing money. So my biggest thing was building a software that allowed people to be so efficient that they could make money and put money in the bottom line so that they can be safe and so that they can be operationally sound, because there's so many pieces to the pie in a subspecialty sub.
Well said. And we'll get to this at the end when we get to the riches and the niches. But let's first kind of to build this out to understand where and why FieldFlow. What areas of the art of construction do you focus on with the software?
Yeah, so we got our jump in demolition, environmental, like asbestos abatement, environmental remediation. So that's where we got our jump, because that's the world I grew up in. Out of that, where FieldFlow has come is that now it's being seen on job sites, they call large projects. So now we've gone into masonry, concrete, plastering. We have steel erector companies. So anybody essentially that cares about time, safety, crew tracking, field management, project management is really where we've gone.
So how we've kind of built this out through the AOCIT house of shout out to my partner Ryan Lee through our platform. What we've spent, you can go back and listen to the deep dive where we turned into four podcasts of him and I from building poker tables in college together, because I didn't have the time to sit and play poker. I'm like, well, I'll go make tables and sell them to all these guys that just sit around, because I know I can make money there versus the patience on doing that. And you can go hear all those stories of the origin story of Ryan and I back in the day. But 25 years of conversation, we sat down where we both have tried all kinds of things of in the construction arena, and we said, we have to meet the builders and affiliates where they are. We have to speak the language of how how messy and knowing how the sausage is made when you're building a construction project. You have to speak that of like starting with the land, the good foundation, how the walls get built, and the municipalities and all the challenges to be able to give that key to them at the end of the house. So mapping that out of constructifying the IT roadmap is something we've put a lot of time into with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. What I want you to talk about is talk through some of the key tools within FieldFlow along those lenses.
It starts at the beginning of a project, right? Pre-con. And you talked about the Art of Construction and everything that kind of fully encapsulates that, right? So on the pre-con side of things, you know, we have the CRM, right? So we can track job walks, when proposals are due, bid dates, how estimators are doing. that starts off the job, project documentation, right? The company documentation that you need to have in place, from business license to permitting, all that. Then it goes on to handing it off to your field, right? Where does everything happen? It happens in the field, right? And so what we did is build a really robust project dashboard for the supervisors or the foreman on a job site, to where they complete all that data and the daily tasks from time, safety, daily reporting, time, material, change orders, all of this stuff that they have to control and manage each day. Then driving all that data back to the people that need to make decisions, or at least have the insights to make positive decisions for the company. And so we bring that all full circle. And then we kind of button it up. And that's, I think, our bread and butter that most people don't do, is that the breadth of features, from scheduling, time tracking, reporting, all of that, payroll, all that fun stuff. And so it helps them out.
All right. You said it. The three acronym that drives this industry crazy when they get into the game. And I'm going to start the story about the most of the time dreaded CRM in the construction world. I hired a consultant back in the day, and a great friend of mine, Jamie Rowe, who's been on multiple podcasts, she came in and talked with all my team. We had just launched our first CRM, and I'm thinking, this is amazing, and everything's going to work great. But then I'm getting really frustrated, because guess what? Nobody was using it. And why were they not using it? Is because I thought I'd teed everything up perfectly. And she came in, and so she said, Devin, give me 3 weeks to meet with all your teams, and I'll come back and let you know how it's being used. Guess what she came back and told me the process was, from a whole thing I thought I had laid out? What? Go ask Devin. That was the first CRM that I thought I had launched. And I can't tell you how many people, when I start unpacking other business owners and stuff, it's go ask the sales superstar is the CRM. Because it's all up in their head, and they've been doing this for so long in construction. So I want to challenge you a bit here and talk through this. I personally know so many others who are struggling with the adage of, when you start talking down IT, of the old garbage in, garbage out, and getting our teams to manage the CRMs, that whatever it is, to not go ask Devin. And you have to figure out how to have true project managers. And one of the things I'm the most proud about, and shout out to Jamie Rowe, is there's not one thing in Mountain View land that is go ask Devin for anymore. Now, there's trade-offs with that, because if Devin doesn't know and customers maybe go elsewhere, it's a hard thing to let go of that vine. You, when you came in, we have an event tonight, and you were talking about a friend of Icota who is here, and these people come in, and I'm like, there's four of those people, but I don't remember their names. I got to do the research of trying to follow this up, just being real, right? But the hope is those people all are in our CRM and tied together. But I can tell you, if you try to tie too much together, that is a real struggle. So you introduced it, a CRM module. Can you unpack that and talk about what's your take to that conversation?
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a huge point, and I dealt with the same thing in both, I mean, from the big companies to the small companies. Well, one, where it is done, but it's done, you know, in a Salesforce, or, and nothing against that, but the world that we're living in is that a lot of times the business development people are project managers or estimators in subcontractors or construction. Like, they're not going to use a Salesforce to the capacity that Salesforce gives you, right? So at the end of the day, you need to build something that is actually going to be very intuitive, very easy, and actually helps them, rather than feels like something that is essentially a micromanagement tool, right? So in FieldFlow, what we did is we're like, hey, what is the details that we need to get out of that, right, of their efforts, but also helps them manage their lives on, when are bids due? When do I got a job walk? When is a proposal due? Can I create a proposal in here? Oh, cool. If I create the proposal, then that goes over to job cost accounting, which saves me a whole other step of the puzzle that I don't got to go talk to the controller or whoever it is. So it's dumbing it down enough to where someone will use it, but making it powerful enough that you can actually do the insights and streamline processes of the sale, the sales or lead process. Does that make sense?
Well said. And as Ryan and I were going down our conversations, I kept saying, Ryan, we have to have a podcast that's titled Connecting the Field to the Office. And he's like, what do you mean by that? And we kept talking and unpacking this. And why I think that is, step one, you said project management in the CRM, but you have to go to the, quite frankly, the lowest common denominator of that project manager that in construction, most of the time, they're the ones that are responsible for connecting the field to the office. And what I mean by that is they're the one out in the field to bring the information back to all the other critical departments like finance and operations and tee back to marketing so that you get the before, during, and after and all these stuff. That sounds so simple until you start to try to connect all those things together. And so, for example, trying to get job walks back to one source of truth. Does anybody raise their hand and say that's an issue? That's every job of getting the meeting they had. If there's an issue, how do you connect that back? How does Field Flow address that?
Yeah, so essentially each estimator, project manager, or an admin can go ahead and build the lead, right? And then when the job walks are due, then we have a nice, beautiful dashboard, because this was the bane of our existence. We didn't even know where people were going because they had it in their own calendar that wasn't shared, or it was written on a scratch napkin that they have a job walk or a bid due. So now it's in one beautiful little place. I go on a dashboard really clean and see, hey, we got 5 job walks today. Hey, we have 2 proposals due today. Click in there and you can see exactly. Devin's got 2, Roni's got 3. Boom, we know where everybody's going or what's due that day. And everybody's on the same page, and it's not sitting on a big whiteboard in one office or in everybody else's spreadsheets.
Yeah, and we mentioned, I want to talk a little bit more about proposals. And in the subcontractor world, as my day-to-day, I make a living selling windows and doors. And in that portion of the subcontractor world, we're having a lot of conversations around that, is where you have to be very specific because there's so many things that tie together. And you can go back and look at many podcasts that we've had around different IT big companies, a builder trend. We did a whole deep dive series to specialized ones like Enscape about rendering, to the big Autodesk, to Bluebeam, on and on and on, all these different softwares.
Yep.
Before, during, and after on the podcast, I would always ask clarifying questions around the subcontractor world, because let's say like Revit has this quoting tool and it's supposed to work, or Bluebeam has this thing in it, or all these different ones, but they don't really use them. Why? Because the subcontracting world is so specific and so challenging. That's why there's so many different subcontracting businesses.
Right.
And it's hard to change those systems to be into one thing. So I'm really big, and Roni, at the beginning of this, you asked me, like, what do you want out of Art of Construction? I want it to be the place to actually connect this stuff together. And that's really, really hard to do. It's not a one-sentence thing. I've done 325-plus podcasts, and every one of those sentences, like this sentence we're doing today, leads those together of the different subcontractors that we've branded as the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. How can you address the subcontractor world? And this is the question I was so excited to have you come on the podcast, because you talk about your abatement world of the beginning of this conversation, my window and door world coming together to say, how can Field Flow connect those things?
So as it relates, I think that there's got to be a consistency on a flow, right? And not to sound super cheesy, right? Field Flow. But at the end of the day, you build a framework for which most people do work within, right? Like, we have jobs, we have projects, we have estimates, we have proposals that are due. But within that framework, you create customization to where you can build it for Devin's demolition company or Roni's masonry or whatever it is, so that at the end of the day, I can build my own form so it can look and feel like Roni's masonry. I can build my own inspections so it is like Devin's demolition company. I can build proposals that relate to my line of work and my services and my offerings custom to me. So like, by the, you know, you talked about the CRM proposal builder. You can build your own templates however you want them and mirror them with the legal language, with your bid line items that you typically have. You can show or hide whatever you need to on margins.
And that's a key thing. If you're looking for a software, they have to allow you to make templates that are your own to meet in the middle. And there's so many that you have to try to plug and play into their world. That doesn't work. That's why we chose Method at the very beginning, but then we went out and turned it into our own platform and did all this custom stuff. But careful what you wish for, try and do that on your own, because then that person leaves or they go to a new platform and it can be very frustrating, right? If you customize too much. So it's finding that balance, right? When it comes to integrating your special sauce into a software stack.
Right. So just, you know, building the framework for them. So it's not too customizable. You're staying within your lane, but customize them well enough, because Devin's demolition might not be exactly like Roni's demolition either. So within the same, right?
Because if they're all the same, why would there be different businesses?
Well, right. Mountain View windows, right? That's not going to be the same as Roni's windows. So I have to give you the ability to make it your own, but within the same framework, right? So that you're flowing in a nice, nice manner and everything goes full circle. Field, office, office, field, project management, all tied in.
The key thing at the end of the day, money talks and bullshit walks. We just released a podcast talking about fractional CFOs and the whole thing about scaling your business, of understanding accounting and integration and this stuff, to where if it is, you know, Devin's windows or Roni's windows, you start by you, and then you got to get the right help to scale that stuff up. Accounting is one of those such hard things, because the way accounting works is not how businesses work. And understanding tax returns to cash flow and integration and management of those items can be a real challenge. How do you address that?
Well, I mean, let's talk about the personas, right? I mean, you're talking at a pretty advanced level with what you brought up. We meet clients that don't do any of that. They don't do any accounting, right? It's on tabular form. They have an accountant that comes in and does the books, like legit still does books. Doesn't have a QuickBooks or anything. So we go from that level to, you know, the people that are on the Vistas, the Trimbles, the Acumaticas. That being said, in Field Flow, we have an entire job costing. So whether you're going to use it yourself to understand your accounting and your metrics on projects and how the profitability of the company is doing, you can do that.
Oh, wait, people don't understand their job costing? I appreciate that answer, because you're like, you have to meet them where they are. Like chucking a truck, that's where a lot of construction is when it comes to the subcontractor world. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is give tools to be like, dude, you know what? If you actually understand job costing, guess what you could do better on the next job? Maybe you could make more money. And if you make more money, guess what you can do? Hire more people. And if you hire more people, guess what you can do? Have them use the CRM dashboard. But that gets back into the foundation of culture and values and all those things to get you to go that route, right? And the next question and comment, that this is the part where I raise my hand, and I'm in the biggest struggle day to day. I'll leave this podcast and go look at my emails of my team all struggling of Office 365, SharePoint this to Teams and servers and all these legacy things. Of when you start to get into generational businesses, if there's one bit of advice I'd give to people, of I was in a meeting yesterday and we had a sales roundtable with the team, and my legacy people, shout out to the people that, you know, we're almost 12 years of me owning the business that I bought that was established in 2006. And when you have the data that is all over the place from 2006 to 2023, you got a lot of, let's call it garbage, but then somebody calls that bought windows from you 15 years ago, generations ago, how do you actually help them? And if you give a shit, you should want to help them, because that's how you actually stay in business. So file storage, and most importantly, access to that with your team that, let's face it, you got to live the Mack truck rule. People come and go. And partners come and go, and that can be a real challenge. How do you address that?
You just have to make it super user-friendly, right? And so at the end of the day, giving your example that you said, hey, we got someone who came in from 15 years ago, I mean, that should easily be searchable within the project, within the document management system, all in one place.
If the current team only searches in this online portal, but the data lives in a file up in the archives, how is that easy searchable?
It's not, but you have to take the time and the effort to bring yourself up to speed. You were leading me right to it. I mean, that has to be done, and that has to be dedicated effort. Otherwise, you're right. Then you're going to have a break in the chain, right? And you're not going to be able to service your people moving into the future. So there are people, and there's softwares, there's companies that will help you and manage that ability to digitize your old processes and bring it all under one house moving forward.
So you said the word dashboards. The thing I would like to tie into dashboards that I think is critically important but critically challenging is reporting with those dashboards, because that's what they're supposed to do, right? They're supposed to give you those slap shots of hit you between the eyes and say, I'm not doing my job, or wow, we crushed it, right? And that's what we're trying to figure out with these dashboards. And we just went through an exercise in the program Art of Construction facilitates called the WDOC, which is for the Window Dealer Owner Council. And we asked all the dealers 10 questions. And one of the questions of those 10 was, what scorecard should you be watching closer? What information should you be doing more? And it was nine of the guys we all came up with. For me, it was like better job costing of, you know, should you have a separate standalone installation company to a product supply company? Because the handoffs are so different, and all these data metrics around that, and all these KPIs and all this stuff.
Right.
And shout out to Ben Collins and the Master Facilitators. His answer was, I think we're tracking way too much because we don't know what to be looking at on the dashboards.
Right.
And there's so much validity to that.
Like, sure.
The riches are in the niches, and we're going to get to that at the end of this podcast. But reporting in dashboards can sure be a challenge. How do you manage that?
You got to listen to your people, your users, right? And so before we build any dashboard, our newest dashboard that we came out was an entire safety dashboard. So we have a project dashboard, a CRM dashboard, and now we have this beautiful safety dashboard. At the end of the day, you need to go to your user base. And that's me talking as CEO of FieldFlow. I need to go to them. We create focus groups and say, what do you guys need to see? And then, you know, if you want to see where your dog's playing, that one gets thrown out of the window, right? We stay very focused on what is going to make you more intelligent on how to run your business and where you're being successful. For the safety dashboard, what do your safety people need to see to make sure that they are in tune with what's going out in the field and any issues that might arise, or be proactive in their safety, or be super fast on reacting to problems. We have this one dashboard. It's called the corrective actions board. We call it the sucker board. You don't want your name on the corrective actions board, right? So that is a big one that everybody focuses on, because you know what? If we got a corrective action, we need to get out there immediately and take care of that, because that makes my exposure super high from a safety, liability, GL, everything standpoint. So it's cool. I think, you know, long story long, stay focused. Get metrics that really make sense, and then all the other noise, you got to rip out of it, in my opinion.
I love that. There's the industry term, you said corrective actions, but the sucker board of, like, you know, it's the same as in college, I sold electronics for Circuit City, and daily, every day, before you'd log in, when you'd go in and see who's at the top of the charts for that day, and that was all they, because it was about that day, right?
Right.
And you did not want to be the sucker board that everybody is making
exactly.
fun of the dude at the bottom of the charts. And the amount of money I made for Circuit City by working straight commissions, when you'd go and you'd sell that warranty on the TV to go from the bottom of the top, and you knew how to do that. Like, that was our driver.
Right.
Because we're college dudes. Like, all we cared about was having enough money to go party that night. But that tool, like, made us go all in. And then they removed that. They laid off the top 3% of the company. And you go look at, you read the books on Circuit City of good to great, Jim, of all these companies, but none of those companies are there because they actually forgot about the people who are actually getting the results.
Right.
And that's what these dashboards are. It was such a shocker to me when they laid off the top people because they're like, they're making too much money. And then guess what happened to the company? So the dashboards can be good and bad depending on where the company's going, right?
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, it's time and money, right? And so can you talk too about, you know, at the end of the day, software, and on your website, you have a great thing of just like the average savings of all these different tools, which if you're listening to this podcast and you don't use any IT platform, then I don't kind of question why you're listening to this, because this is for master facilitators, that it's not about if you're using software, it's about how do you put different tools together for your kit of parts, and software is one of those many things in your tool belt, but then the team within you are all wearing a different tool belt too, so you got to be able to put that app in that tool belt the right way to be able to save them time and money. Can you talk through that from the FieldFlow's perspective?
I think, yeah, you touched on it big time, but the biggest thing is that the breadth of features for FieldFlow, we'll talk money first, right? The price of FieldFlow pays for paper and toner alone, right? I mean, the paper and toner savings pays for FieldFlow alone. At the end of the day, especially, it's amazing when we get to, you know, one of our partners or potential partner in FieldFlow that says, I use paper. And I'm like, well, okay. And we get to the price point, and I'm like, do you realize the amount of paper that you're throwing out the window and your toner for your inkjet printer, this is going to pay for FieldFlow. So for one, there's this straight savings, right? Then the tangible savings of tracking overtime, unnecessary spend. The amount of time that it takes for a foreman or supervisor to come pick up their job books that are made of paper and the binders, like I haven't even brought in the binder for actual costs, right? We did studies, I mean, on overtime alone for a company that has 10 to 15 foremen or supervisors, they're saving $80,000 just on unnecessary overtime that they didn't even know that they were getting hit with. That's just a tangible $80,000, 15 supervisors, foremen. Then you go to just time management, man. And then it goes down to the person who creates the job books, the person who has to go find the permits, the person that has to go and renew permits, but they don't even know that they have. Like, there's so many intangible things that software can do for you. And I don't care if you're using FieldFlow. At the end of the day, you need to use a software that is going to streamline the inefficiencies that you have going on in your company, no matter what. I don't care which one you use. Hopefully you do your research, but there's a lot of things out there that are going to make you super dangerous and profitable and just not get a bunch of gray hair or lose your hair.
Roni, I absolutely love that answer. I raise my hand and say I've never even thought about it that way. Like, I wish I could say we don't print much paper, but we have a printer that I'm gonna take this and my call to action. I think you should do the same as a business owner, is to say how much monthly are we paying for that printer, and then put a question on the printer every time someone goes to get that piece of paper, of just saying, why are you printing this? Because, but Roni, the problem with IT is they speak too much IT when they're selling IT. They don't speak how businesses run. And when you talk about the paper and the ink and the fact that the office space about the printers acting up, not to mention all the other tangents we could go on around that, seeing is believing, right? So you have to market around that. Like, I just came up with a new marketing campaign. I'm going to go put a big sign right at my printer of saying, why are you printing this? With a FieldFlow logo, right? And we'll go take a picture in that and put it in the show notes for this, because that's every business in America. Do you know any businesses that don't have a printer? Should they all have a printer?
Yes, they should, but they shouldn't be
using it the way they are, because you have to meet them where they are, right?
Absolutely.
And so as we work on closing this thing out, this podcast dedicated to the builders and affiliates who are in the trenches making this whole thing happen, whether you're printing everything today or hopefully nothing tomorrow, to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes like Roni and I have done leading up into this podcast, thanks to Andrew Duke, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
The first thing is that I think that it's going to come under a unified front. Right. You and I were talking about this before the podcast. Right. I think that there is going to be something or someone like AOC, or there's going to be something that kind of brings the unified front together so that we're not such a siloed world, you know, and whoever's going to be the one to actually do that and congregate this in the most efficient manner is going to crush it. Right. And then we're all going to be working together. The second piece, and whether people like to hear it or not, for me, and just because I'm in it every single day from a technology standpoint, artificial intelligence is coming hard and strong and fast. You know, I just read the other day that the models that are working within 2 years, this artificial intelligence is going to be 1 billion times smarter than Einstein.
So unpack the AI a little bit, because we're all looking at it, trying to read and understand, but you own an IT company. Like, is there an AI plugin in FieldFlow today?
Not today, but there will be very soon.
Like, it's got to be the shiny object in the conversation right now, is how do we interact it into the tool, right? But don't just put it in just to put it in.
No, right. And so you have to do that, and I don't want to give too much secret sauce away, but at the end of the day, it's where do you put artificial intelligence in there that makes sense, right? Beautiful part is that in construction, what I believe, I don't care how much technology you need people. And that's the beautiful part. You need people in trades, right? You might build a robot that might be able to like hang or do some plaster or do some mud. But at the end of the day, you need people in trades. And that's the beautiful part. But there is going to be a part of artificial intelligence that you're going to need in your software that is going to make it so much faster. And for me, not telling you too much, but in the safety piece where you can build that in document management and knowledge base, these different things, you can build artificial intelligence to make you super fast so that you can get your job and your project done way faster.
I love it. That's where my mind goes. It's like all of the stuff that we have to do that we don't have time to do, there's so many admin tasks that can free you up to actually go be your secret sauce and get out there and run your
exactly,
business versus all of the municipalities and safety and check the box stuff that can eat your lunch. If you have to do it, there's going to be a lot of streamlining that comes from that.
100%. Yep.
What is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there as our call to action it and crush it and grow their business?
You know, my bias means is telling me to tell you to go get some software and get one that actually is built for you specifically, right? Niches to riches. I think that the beautiful part of where we're at in software, when I thought of Field Flow, nothing really existed. Now what's cool is, I got friends that are in software that for pests. They got, people with a software for demolition environmental like Field Flow, or especially subcontractors. Find your software, use it, implement it, and really drive that, because I promise you there's going to be a little bit of pain, but the light at the end of the tunnel is way sweeter than anything you're doing today, and it's going to save you a lot of money. That's the biggest thing that I think they can take away from this.
Roni, my final words, small, big, it's all broken. In the show notes, I'm super excited to have you and I in front of my printer and maybe someday another photo when I smash that thing apart. And figuring out wherever you wireframe stuff together and wherever you're at, I loved where you said negative 32. I would say Art of Construction is negative 325, and people keep asking me, Devin, what is this next thing you're going to launch? I don't know. But I do keep getting better at this every day, and that's what the Art of Construction is all about. And the CRM, if your CRM is go ask Roni's Windows, Roni or Devin Tilley, that's okay, but you got to know where you are to go break through that ceiling. You said, I don't want to be cheesy when I say you got to have a Field Flow to that. I say that's not cheesy at all, Roni, because I actually think it's one of the best software names I've ever heard of. And genuinely appreciate that and say that because you heard me talk about connecting the field to the office. And when I say that, you must flow the field. The flow of the field to the office, to whatever you do. And so stop printing and save with Field Flow. If your software is not built for you, first off, it better not be built for Devin's Windows. It better be built for Mountain View Window and Door, and above that, window distribution, and above that, window manufacturers, and above that, project management, and above that, however you got to map out your industry of the riches and the niches. If your software doesn't work like that, then build one, find one. And we have the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community. That's why we built that. And there's so many exciting conversations because it starts with who and what. It's Roni and Devin that have been doing this our whole lives, and we're in the gooey middle that want to do it a little bit longer, but not the same way we've been doing it. So with that being said, Roni, what do you want to leave the studio with? Thank you so much for coming in. I can't wait to go have lunch together and have a deep dive conversation with you. And it's all about these handoffs from the Fireside Chats. Thanks for coming in and sharing your story.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Devin.